Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, the Prayer Warrior, tuning in live from Tennessee. We are so glad you've decided to join us today, January 29th, 2015. Now on to our show. Good morning. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. We are so glad that you're tuning in. We just thank you for all of the prayers and supports and well wishes and testimonies and listeners. You know, we have a great show segment for you on today as we will give you a word as well as pray for you. You desire to call in at 1-657-383-0029. And we are going to be encouraging our hearts in the Lord today. Glory to God. This is a time that we've got to encourage ourselves now. It's time for us to develop a closer relationship with the Lord, even deeper and tighter and stronger than ever before. And it's also a time for love and fellowship and people to come together in unity and support one another in prayer and in words of exhortation as we turn our focus completely on the power and love and mercy and discipline and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we turn to Him, as He encourages our heart, Father, I pray this morning that You will touch every one of the listeners this morning. Encourage, Father. Strengthen, Father. Restore, Father, by the power of the cross, by the power of Your blood, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, open our eyes to hear what You have to say to us. Open our minds and ears to hear what thus saith the Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to play a worship song, and we'll be back momentarily. Again, our line is 657-383-0029.
Open the eyes of my heart. I will see you. I will see you. Open the
Glory to God. You know, to see the Ruah, to behold. When we see the Lord, we begin to see as He sees. We begin to understand as He understands. We begin to honor Him. The definition to see is such a powerful word, because when we have the ability to see something, it means He appears before us. He approves. We become aware. It becomes visible to us. We begin to consider what God is saying to us. We begin to, when we're considering what He is saying to us, we begin to display it in our character. We have an encounter. When we see as God sees, it is to have an encounter with Him. It is to enjoy Him. It is to examine Him. It is to experience Him. It is to allow Him to expose His face to us. It is to allow Him to expose and to give. We give attention to Him. We keep looking. We continue to look. We make an inspection of what He is saying to us, and we receive it in our heart. You know, we notice, we observe, we perceive. When we have the ability to see, we regard what it is the Lord wants us to regard, and we also remain alive, and we begin to search, we begin to inquire, we begin to crave, we begin to pant or to long for Him, for the spirit man. Seeing something, see as He sees. It's not just looking at with our natural eye. We go above and beyond that. When we begin to see as our holy God sees, we allow Him to supervise the way we see, that we will surely see, that we will rightly see, that we will see with righteousness and holiness, that we will begin to think, we will begin to take heed to what the Word of God, to what a holy God is saying to us. We begin to understand. We begin to view. We begin to allow Him to visit the way we see. We allow visitation from a holy God. We allow a vision. We allow Him to reveal to us what His will is, what His purpose is, and what His direction is. Amen. When we have the ability to see, it is awfully powerful. And we cannot allow the Father to encourage our heart when we cannot see as God sees. When we cannot perceive the way He perceives. And this is what's hurting so many people today. I know it hurt me for a while, but when the revelation and the understanding begins to be unveiled, begins to be opened up to you, and you begin to understand with wisdom, with the love of God, with the grace of God and the mercy of God, you begin to feel alive. Why? Because as you begin to see, He is making your spirit man become so alive that you're becoming aware of right and wrong way of thinking. You become aware of what is honorable and what is dishonorable. When you begin to see, you become aware of your actions. And your actions, the way you perceive your actions, based on, am I pleasing my Heavenly Father who is holy, or am I self-seeking to please my flesh? When you open your eyes, your supernatural eyes, and begin to see, you remain alive. You begin to search. You begin to study. You begin to pant, as I said earlier, or press in or crave more understanding of why God has brought you here in the first place, of why you are alive in the first place, of what is it you can do to please Abba Father every single day. You begin to see plainly. Your vision is not blurred. Your vision is not sometimey. Your vision is not compromised. Your vision is not fickle. Your vision is not double. You begin to see with a single eye, a single mind, a single spirit. Glory to God. You begin to select right choices according to God. Not only that, but as you begin to have the ability to see, you begin to receive access to a holy God. He gives you access to his mysteriums. He gives you access to his understandings. He gives you access to his mysteries of the holy realm, the spirit realm. He begins to give you access to understanding what is important, what is love, what is pure, what is true. He gives you access to know that you are a son and daughter of a holy, high, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing creator who is God Almighty. The Lord Jesus Christ begins to touch your eyes. He opens your eyes. He opens your revelation. He opens your understanding. He opens you. He opens you up so much that your perception, how you see, it begins to provide unto you the power of the Word of God, the power of repentance, the power of changing, the power of being transitioned. I know many people are beginning to speak with a new age language. They're beginning to use the word shift and dimension. But those words are not in the Word of God. The new agers are teaching about the shift, about the dimension. But when you begin to see as God sees, you know that he transforms you. He doesn't shift you. You are transformed. You are changed. You are restored. You are renewed, like it speaks of in Romans chapter 12. Glory to God. It shares with you how our minds are to be transformed, how our minds are to be renewed, how our minds are to be positioned according to how God wants it to be. You know, when we begin to see as God sees, our hearts become encouraged. Our hearts become stronger. Our hearts begin to think of not the doom and gloom, but our hearts begin to think of what it is that God has for us to do. Our hearts begin to see the importance of our life and why we are living and why we are breathing. Our hearts begin to also have an agape love for God. An agape love for God is not self-seeking. It does not seek to its own. It does not seek for pleasures of the flesh. It does not seek to control other people's lives and other people's livelihoods. When you begin to see, you begin to supervise and mortify your spirit man. You see, you mortify your flesh. You discipline it. You make it control. You begin to cause yourself with a word of action so that your mind will line up with the Word of God. Romans chapter 12 reads, I beseech you, therefore, he's saying, I beg you, therefore, brethren, he's speaking to the men and women of that time. Brethren are brothers and sisters who are believers of a holy God. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That means we mortify our flesh. You know, when parents are disciplining their children, they're disciplining them when they discipline them correctly, it's because they care about how they're going to mature. They're shaping their character. They're shaping the way they think. They're shaping the way they perceive life. They're shaping the way they perceive their education. They're shaping the way they perceive their destiny. And when we begin to see glory of God, we begin to become supernatural advisors of our own hearts, our own minds, as it is pleasing to God. And then he begins to appear into our hearts, into our minds, and he begins to lead and guide us into all truth. The Holy Ghost has been given to mankind. He has made it available in the name and the power, the blood, because of the way of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have the ability to see, when we have tapped into a realm, an understanding, an obedience, a fellowship, a relationship with the Holy Father, we begin to yield our heart and our mind to the Holy Ghost, because that is the Spirit of God Almighty who has stepped inside of us, and as evidence he has, we will have an Acts chapter 2 experience where we will speak in an unknown tongue as the Spirit of God gives utterance. This manifests to people that now a Holy Spirit of wisdom and understanding and of discipline and the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to understand, the ability to obey, the ability to yield to a holy God, to a purpose of God, to the mind of God. It says in Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. He says, but ye be transformed, but you be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we have a responsibility to ourselves. How can we help someone else if we cannot see how to first help ourselves? Yes, we know the Lord laid and nailed all our sins and all our problems to the cross. Yes, we know that he suffered, died, and bled on Calvary's cross, and that he rose again with dunamis, miraculous, exousia, miracle-working power, and he took the keys of death and hell, and no grave could hold his body down. But glory to God, we have a responsibility now to allow him to lead and guide us. We have a responsibility now so that as we begin to see, we encourage our hearts. It means we're becoming now aware of what his purpose is, what his directives are, what his will is, what he wants us to do, why he commissioned us to come to the earth, why he commissioned us to be born, why he commissioned us to live and to breathe life. Our lives are not our own. My friend, my brother, my sister, when we begin to open our eyes now and allow the Lord to bless us to see, we begin, and everything becomes visible to us, not how we feel in our flesh, not how we feel in what we learned in college, not how we feel what we learned in grade school. You know, when you have the Holy Ghost, glory to God, and you are a apostle, prophet, glory to God, you have to begin to see farther than the flesh, farther than the natural realm, farther than the earth realm. You've got to begin to see into the realm of the Holy Ghost. We, it's time for us to get out of the outer court and elevate into the Holy of Holies so that we can make correct choices, so we can behold his presence in our life. Amen. Romans chapter 12 shares, "For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think so soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." In other words, we all have the same measure of faith. Some of us have little faith. Some of us have great faith. Some of us have outstanding faith. But he is giving us a mandate and a directive. He says, through the grace given unto him, unto me, to every man, that encompasses mankind, that means men and women, that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We have to understand, we have to know that when we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, we understand where our what our realm is, what our limitations are, whether there are limitations or not limitations. We begin to understand who we are and what our abilities are, and we don't become envious or covetousness against somebody else's ability. There may be others that God has anointed to travel the world and speak to the masses by the millions and millions and go from country to country to country, from plane to plane to plane. We cannot become envious and jealous of those type of apostles and prophets that God has given that assignment to whom much is given, much is required. They have a mantle on them, an anointing on them, and grace and mercy and the ability to see governmentally for countries, for nations, to do a transitioning in the realm of the spirit so that God can use them mightily like he did the major prophets of old, how they began to move under the unction of the Holy Ghost so that the hearts of the governments and the kings and the queens and the atmospheric realm can begin to be transformed, not shifted, but transformed. See, when something is shifted, that just means it's moving from one location to another location, but there is no change. When something is shifted, it just moves over. You can shift a tabletop. You can shift a computer. You can shift something. But when you transition, it means to completely change something. It means to completely turn it from the inside out. It means that it's never the same again. It talks about being transformed. Transformation means completely changed, completely made new, completely made different. When they go to country, to nation with an assignment of the Holy Ghost, it is to transform. It is to completely renew, to restore, and to completely change a group of people and a government. But those who may be regional apostles and prophets and local apostles and prophets, you still have an assignment as well. God assigns you to grab on and to see and to encourage your heart, to encourage others' hearts, to begin to allow the Lord to use you to preach the inaugurative truths of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and to walk in the realm, walk in the obedience, to walk into the understanding and the discipline and the holiness and righteousness of the Holy Ghost, so that as you are preaching, as you are teaching, God is using you prophetically with an anointing apostolically, so that people will begin to take heed to the words as the anointing flows from your mouth, so that people begin to think, so that people begin to understand, so that people begin to view with a vision, so that people begin to inspect how they're living, if they're living according to the mind and heart of God. Romans goes on to share, for as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ and everyone members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. You know, as you read this, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. As I'm reading this, I am seeing, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. You know, God has given each of us a measure of faith, a measure of grace, and we are to stay within our realm of what he has appointed us to minister, our realm according to what he has given us to minister. Yes, we may look at people who are going to the masses, but so what? If God gave them that measure, that grace, he has given it to them. Sometimes we may shipwreck. People may shipwreck because they're trying to reach into an area, an anointing that has not been released for their assignment, glory to God. It says, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. You know, all of us are to teach and preach the word of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the cross of the living God, the blood, the power of Jesus Christ. We are all to teach and preach the same thing. But God gives everyone a different measure of their assignment. Now, it's time for us to come together and encourage one another's heart, encourage and respect one another's anointing, respect one another's gift. You know, if God has given you the gift of apostle, he's given you the gift of prophet, he's given you the gift of pastor, he's given you the gift of the evangelist, he's given you the gift of the teacher, walk in the grace, in the realm, and the gift that he has given you so that you can be able to see and have access to the assignment that he has given you. It will encourage your heart, and you will be able to encourage other people's heart. You will be able to watch as well as pray. You will be able to have the wisdom and the understanding to help someone, it says, to make me see. See, when we can see the way God has us to see, we see where we're at. We see where we're lacking. We see where we have need of maturity. We see where we have need to grow. We see where we have been in error. We see where we have been in the right way of God. And we see, we allow the Holy Ghost to come in and to transform us as it is instructed, the holiness enjoined in this book of Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Well, verse 7 again, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Why? Because as we go through trials and tests and the school of the Holy Spirit, you know, when Jesus was born and he was born of Mary, Jesus didn't immediately start teaching and preaching. He waited until he was released by the Father. He went through the training. He went through the disciplining. He went through the learning so that he would be ready with the impact of the mandate of what God has released for him to do. He waited for his season. He waited for his time. He waited until God was ready to use him so that he would have an impact that would please God in heaven. It wasn't about him pleasing himself. It was about doing the will of the Father in heaven. so many times people just become a believer, just said that they accept the Lord, haven't even some, and let me tell you, if you haven't experienced praying in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance, if you haven't experienced a baptism in the name of Jesus Christ so that you can have the ability to see and have access to understand the power of the blood, to understand the power of the cross, to understand the revelation knowledge apostolically, and you're going forth as a prophet, and you're saying you're an apostle, the apostles and prophets in the New Testament and Old Testament understood the power of the realm of the anointing and the heart and mind of a holy God. How can someone reveal supernatural understandings and they yet themselves have not received a Holy Ghost, which is the supernatural power of God? How can they begin to tell people the heart and mind and purpose of God for a government, for a nation, for a city, for a church, for a family, if they cannot, they themselves do not have the ability to begin to reveal to be the invisible to be visible in the hearts and minds of the people? I'm telling you, that's a dangerous position to be in. It says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Why? Let us wait. Wait on our ministering, wait on our teaching, wait on our exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. In other words, we do it with cheerfulness. We do it with understanding. We do it where we can release the word of God, release the teaching of God, release the exhortation of God, release the prophesying of God to people so that when they hear it, it will be simplistic. When they hear it, they will understand. When they hear it, they'll receive the revelation. When they hear it, it will make them think. When they hear it, it will make them take heed. When they hear it, it will make them understand. When they hear it, they will consider what thus saith the Lord. When they hear it, they will receive an encounter from God. When they hear it, they will behold the power of God. When they hear it, they will have access to the presence of God. Glory to God, which will change their life. Amen. And it says, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, our love has to be without hypocrisy. Our love of God has to be authentically pure. Our love of God has to be obedient. Our love of God has to be an example of the presence of a holy God. Our love of God has to be one where we love people so much that when they are yet in their sin, we are not afraid to let them know it. Who will let their child fall off a cliff? Who will let their child walk into fire? Not one parent who loves their child will do that. They will say, hold up, look out, warning, warning, alert, alert. When we walk apostolically and prophetically, we will warn the people. We will warn the brethren. We will warn those that are saying they're confessing Jesus but are ungodly among us. Why? Because love, the love of God. But we won't browbeat them. We won't condemn them. We won't judge them. We won't falsely accuse them. We will just preach and teach the undoubted truth of the word of God. Amen. It says we are without dissimulation. It is time that when we encourage our heart, when we encourage the brethren's heart, when we encourage people, we've got to begin to be role models and examples like Jesus Christ. You know, they had this movement going, what would Jesus do? And people were looking at it from a perspective with a little bracelet on their arm, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And they would be, if you say this to me, what would Jesus do? But we've got to take it past that, what would Jesus do in the realm of the flesh, and begin to look at it, what would Jesus do in the realm of the spirit? We are to walk without dissimulation, love without dissimulation. What would Jesus do? How would he feel? How would he handle a beautiful woman throwing herself at him? Is he going to get with that? What would Jesus do? We got to love without hypocrisy. We've got to tell that sister, tell that man, tell those people, oh, no, no, no. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be holy. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be clean. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be made whole. We've got to be able to give understanding and release revelation into the hearts and minds of the people. And we cannot do that if we ourselves are not walking according to the Word of God. Oh, Lord, encourage our hearts today. Oh, Lord, open up our understanding today. Oh, Lord, give us a closer passion to walk for you, to think for you, to act for you, to have empowerment for you, to be bold for you, to stand for you, to persevere for you, to honor you with ferventness by the fire of the Holy Ghost, the fire, the power of the blood and the cross in the name of Jesus Christ. Be kindly. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Abhor means to shun it. It means to resist it. It means to turn away from it. It means to don't even consider doing anything evil. Don't consider being wicked. Don't consider being negative. It means to begin to speak what God says to speak, to think what God says to think, to live how God says to live. Amen. It says, cleave to that which is good. I don't know about you, but there's nothing gooder and better than cleaving to the Holy Ghost, cleaving to the power of the blood, cleaving to the power of the cross, cleaving to the Word of God. Amen. And it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. It means to do good. It means to be kind to someone else. It means to do it as unto the Lord. This is saying kindly. It's talking about the kind affection as brotherly love. When you have brotherly love, sisterly love for your brother, for your sister, that means people you come in association are going to try to lead them astray down a road of perversion, down a road of sexual sins. You're not going to try to lead them down a road of greed. You're not going to try to lead them down a road of negativity. When you have the love of God and you have a kind affection with brotherly love of the love of God, you're going to teach them and share with them and be there for them. Sometimes not saying anything, just letting them know you're praying for them, that you're encouraging them, that you are there to help in any way you can, but you still must remain, have the love without dissimulation. You still must have a sincere, pure love, a love that carries out the mercies of God, a love that presents your body as a living sacrifice, a love that is holy, a love that is acceptable unto God, a kindness that is acceptable unto God. The Word tells us it's a reasonable service. Amen. It says, be not slothful in business. We can't just take business haphazardly and be lazy about it and know that there are things that we have to do. We've got to encourage our hearts so that when we have the ability to see, we indeed look like God wants us to look. We give attention to our business. We give attention to our affairs. We give attention to our ministries. We give attention to the souls of the people of God that God has given us to encourage and to build up and encourage. We begin to examine our business matters. Is our business matters, lining up with God, lining up with His Word? Our business matters and how we handle our employers, our employees, our parishioners, our fellow ministers, would it be acceptable to a holy God? fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Wow, we've got to have such a fervency. When you have the ability to see, you are seeing with such ferventness that you are looking and understanding, and you're surely seeing what God wants you to see. You're surely observing what he wants you to observe. You're serving the Lord. When you serve the Lord, you provide provision for people who are in need, indeed, of a kind word of God, to let them know he loves them, to let them know he loves them, to let them know he loves, loves, loves them. I can't say that enough. To let them know that he placed all their sin and all their flaws and all their weaknesses and all their wickedness and all their discouragements. It was nailed to the cross at Calvary. When you begin to see, you begin to let them know that even though their lives may have been exposed, help them see themselves the way God sees them. Amen. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You know, we've got to be quick to pray. We have to have a mind when we have the ability to see that we have a relationship with God, that we desire a relationship with him, that we desire him to transform us. We desire him to conform our minds. We desire to be the kind of people that are living sacrifice. In other words, we're sacrificing what the flesh wants to do to pick up the cross and do what God says to do. It's a sacrifice the flesh isn't going to want to do, right? This flesh is but from the dirt. There's no good thing in our flesh. Our flesh always wants to look at what it shouldn't look at. The flesh always wants to feel what it shouldn't feel. But when we sacrifice that flesh, when we mortify that flesh, glory to God, we begin to see that the flesh is no good thing of itself. Self, and we have access to the presence of the Almighty God. The Holy Spirit will strengthen us, renew us, and restore us so we can walk 24/7 with an encounter of the presence of God in our life. We begin to have an experience of a relationship of the sonship of the Holy God of heaven. Amen. It says distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, when we bless people, when we are encouraging other people's hearts, blessing them does not mean we accept their wrong way of living. It does not mean we begin to compromise and get out there and live with them and do what they're doing and act how they're acting, but we bless them. We give them a word in due season. We bless them how we live our life as an example before them. We bless them with kindness and peace. We bless them by standing firm in what we believe and how we live our life before them. We do good instead of evil. We do not curse them. We do not say the wrong things to them. It says, bless and curse not. Many people are using their mouths in today's time to curse people, to try to control their lives, control their computers, control their bank accounts, just to control them. It makes them feel big in their own eyes. But the strength and the power comes in the ability to see, to encourage your heart, to shun the wickedness, to open up your mind and heart to a holy relationship with the Father, to begin to honor him, to rejoice with them that rejoice, and to weep with them who weep. To begin to have sympathy for people, empathy with people, to understand their pain, to understand where they're at, to understand where they've come from, to understand where they're going, glory to God. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. when we begin to see as God sees, oh, Lord, we begin to understand. We don't begin to think of ourselves as this great, all-knowing, I've arrived type of individual, because we are still yet growing. We are still yet getting closer to the Lord. We are still yet laying aside every weight that so easily besets us. We are still allowing the Holy Spirit to pull out of us what should not be there and to put into our hearts, into our mind, into our character, into our nature what God wants to be there. We are allowing His presence to supervise our spirit man so that we can surely see and so that He can surely be seen through us. See, the goal is for the Lord to be seen in our life, for Him to be seen through us, for Him to be seen in our actions, for Him, all the glory is to go back to Him. All the glory is to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that should be seen and manifested through us. Amen. It says we be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in our own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. In other words, if someone does wrong to you, don't say, oh, I got this. I'm going to retaliate. You're going to do one thing to me. I'm going to do two to you. You're going to do three to me. I'm going to do six to you. Don't retaliate. Begin to recompense no man evil for evil. We are to be honest people. We are to see ourselves. We are to allow God to come face to face with our spirit man. We are to be able to give attention to, yes, we're vigilant and we're acknowledgeable of things that are happening that we may not approve of, but how would Jesus handle that? As we look away from those things and focus in on God's things, we can begin to see plainly the presence of God. And encourage ourselves to see plainly. Encourage yourself to receive a relationship with the Lord. Encourage yourself to spend quality time with Him. Encourage yourself to pray to a holy God. Encourage yourself so much that when you feel the stress and the pressures and someone trying to pull on you in a realm of a wicked spirit, you can begin to become free because you are free. He who the Son says free is free indeed. See yourselves being free today. See yourselves being liberated by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ so that you can focus on the power of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and the presence of God. Glory to God. When you have a relationship with Him, when your role begins that relationship, everything changes in your life. Hallelujah. It says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, when we provide things honest in the sight of all men, because mankind, men and women, they know what they're doing. They know how they're feeling. When we're honest, when we honor God in all we do, we're honoring Him in our mind, we're honoring Him in our heart, we're honoring Him in our ability to see, we're honoring Him in our ability to hear, we're honoring Him in our ability to speak, we're honoring Him in our ability of how we, our actions, our behavior, our lifestyles. It says, honestly, it is telling us, provide things honest. We are to give provision. We are to provide honest things to people. We are to be those. We know that our Lord God is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. How will He provide to people? He uses people to provide for people. He uses us as ministers to provide for people's spirits, to provide the life, the Word of God, because in His Word is spirit and life. We are to be provisionaries for the people. Glory to God. And we also provide, like Jesus had said, when I was homeless, when I was hungry, when I didn't have anywhere to go, we are to provide for the poor, provide for the sick, provide for those of us that are weak, we, and those that are strong, the stronger to pray for the weak, provision. But we can't do that if we don't see the way God would have us to see, because when we see the way he has us to see, our heart as it is encouraged, we provide access to others. It says, if it be possible. Here this word is, if it be possible, as much as lieth in us, live peaceably with all men. In other words, there's going to be some people that no matter how you desire, how you want to, because of how they are, it's some people that it's just impossible to be peaceable with them, but you still walk in the love of God. We are to still walk in the peace and the joy of God. We are still to walk in the ability to see so that the presence of God will appear before us, around us, and through us, regardless of all their turmoil, regardless of all their wickedness, regardless of all their negativity. We are commanded. It is required of those of us who claim the apostolic anointing. We must live peaceably with all men. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, when we have a relationship with the Lord and we begin to perceive and truly see, and I am still learning and still growing and still receiving understanding and revelation, I'm still being conformed, I'm still being transformed. Oh, Lord, continue to mold and shape me, Father. I'm still going in this area, in the area that God does not want me to avenge myself. He does not want me to retaliate against the evil of what others may be trying to do. But as I wrap up in the Lord, my relationship is wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Hallelujah, as the song says, the battle is not my battle. Your battle's not your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. As we have a relationship with him, he sees what they're doing. He sees what they're saying. He sees how they're acting. It's just a matter of time. The vengeance belongs to the Lord. God's got you. He's got your back. He's got you covered. Relax, as it says. Keep calm and keep your relationship with God. He's got you. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on their head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And this first verse of verse 13, chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. When we begin to see the way God sees, we understand that the power is not our power. The power is from a holy Father. The power is from a holy God. You know, as God shows us what he will have for us to see, we will begin to change and grow and have joy, and the dread and the doom and the gloom will begin to leave. I'll be back shortly after this break.
Psalm 91, the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Father, today I come and say, I dwell in the shelter of the Most High. I'm resting in your shadow, and I'm trusting you to save me, Lord. I'm trusting you to save me. You said that you will cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I will find refuge. Your faithfulness, Lord, your faithfulness will be like a shield and a rampart to me, so that I will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor pestilence that stalks in the garden, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Father, I have a confidence from you. I have a holy boldness. Because I put my confidence in you, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the terrors of the night. I'm not afraid of the deadly missiles that come directed at me. Even over sickness. You said over sickness, you have authority over sicknesses. Lord, you said 1,000 would fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. But it doesn't come near me. God, they fall all around me. But because I'm close to you, it doesn't come near me. I will only observe with my eyes and see the punishment of the wicked if I make you, the Most High, my dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge. So God, no harm, no harm, no harm be following me. No disaster, I ask you for that. No disaster coming near my tent. I'm asking you, Lord, give your angels charge concerning me. Give your angels charge to lift me up in their hands so that I will not strike my foot against the stone. Father, I'm asking for angelic help. Heavenly winds to come. Help me. Help my family. Lift me up, O God. So I will tread upon the lion and the cobra. I will trample the great lion and the serpent. Father, give me authority to trample on the lion and the cobra. Oh God, because you love me. Because you love me. Upon you and you answer me. I call upon you in trouble. Deliver me. Lift me up with long life and satisfy me by showing me your salvation. What a wonderful prayer. What an awesome promise to dwell in the shelter of the Almighty.
You know, as we begin to understand more and more about the presence and the power of the Lord, it's such an exciting journey. When you journey with your Creator, when you begin to understand that, you know, we are but a breath of vapor and that we won't last always. As you can see the world literally spiraling out of control. When I say the world today, I'm not necessarily speaking about other people. I'm speaking about, look at all the signs that's happening in the land. all the volcanoes and earthquakes that are seriously about to blow. And people are so consumed with how they feel and how they think and how they live their life that they don't have a clue how soon things are winding up and how things really are happening and how the Bible prophecies are, yay, coming to pass so quickly. There are things that are happening in today's time that I never thought I would see, that I never thought I would literally experience, and yet things are happening, and we can't stop it. We can't stop what's going on. We can't stop what's happening. But what we can do is to encourage people to see their self and to begin to allow the Father to open up their eyes so that they can develop a relationship, so that when their hearts are encouraged, their hearts are strengthened. When their hearts are encouraged, their hearts can be transformed. When their hearts are changed, their hearts can be renewed and restored. Their hearts can begin to think differently and begin to consider a holy God which is in heaven while there is yet still time. And so I am just so grateful to the Father for all that He has done and doing. I just want Him to take me over completely.
Enough to hear your heart, just to kneel at your feet, where everything fades away, and I sing, Jesus. Just a glimpse of your face,
Song is so beautiful. I'm going to play it again. Don't you just want Jesus to take you over now? Don't you want his presence to abide in you and have a relationship with you? Glory to God. And come on, lift your hands right where you are. Begin to praise him. Let the tears flow. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, those that desire you to take them over, take over their heart, take over their mind. Encourage their heart this morning. Encourage their spirit, man. Encourage their emotions. Encourage their family. Bless them, oh God. Bless them with strength. Bless them with peace. Give them the love of God. Let them begin to see themselves as you see them.
Just kneel at your feet, where everything fades away and I see Jesus.
And lay it down right now. Lay it down before the Master's feet. Father, we praise you, Lord, because you are Lord God Almighty, Revelations 4 and 8. You are Lord God of truth, Psalms 31 and 5. You are Lord God omnipotent, Revelations 19 and 6. You are our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Luke 4:34. You are our Lord mighty in battle, Psalms 24 and 8. You are my fortress. Come on, make it personal now. He is. Lord, you're my fortress, Psalms 144:2. You're my help, Psalms 115:11. You're my helper, Hebrews 13:6. You're my high tower, Psalms 144:2. You're my hope, Psalms 71:5. You're my Lord and my God, John 20:28. You're my strength and my power. Oh, glory to God. Hey, Koloroma Shata. Lord, you are my strength and my power. 2 Samuel 22:33. You are my rock. You are my refuge. Psalms 31:2. Glory to God. You are my salvation. Psalms 38:20. 22. You are my shield, 2 Samuel 22 and 3 and Psalms 144 and 2. Come on, worship him, worship him, worship him right there where you are. Come on, know that he is your helper. Come on, know that he is your deliverer. Allow him to take you over now. Allow him to encourage your heart. On right where you are, if you can give a clap, if you can just tap your feet, if you're at work, if you can just wave your hand. What a beautiful song. As we allow Jesus to just take us over, take over everything about us, because you know he knows us anyway. He knows everything about us. He knows how we're feeling. He knows how we're hurting. He knows how we're loving and not loving. He understands every care, every need, glory to God. And in order for him to do that, you know, we just got to allow him to encourage us in ways that nobody can encourage us. But know that once you've been encouraged, once you have been restored, once you have been healed, it's time for you to be a blessing to someone else. You know, as we taught the lesson in Romans chapter 12, I encourage you to replay the tape over and over again. It is available in our archives. And we also want you to know that we have a few minutes. If you desire prayer, you can call in at 657-383-0029. I'm telling you, during this January time with the Lord, this is just a time that I desire to have more and more of Jesus. The harder the enemy fights, the more I want Jesus. The more of a relationship, it is important to me to have Jesus in my life, in my heart, in my home, in my marriage, in the ministry. It's all about him. And as we begin to draw close to the cross, as we begin to continue to stay before God, stay at the altar to pray and to praise him and to love him, you know, the harder the enemy tries to come in like a flood, you know, the Lord God, he will raise up a standard against the enemy on our behalf. It's all about Jesus. Just give me more of Jesus. Just give me a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's no greater joy, no greater friend, no greater love than our Lord.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I
Jesus,
And when I come to die, oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me
You can have all this world. You can have all the affections. You can have all the cares, but give me Jesus. You know, there are over 200 names in the Bible that refer to who Jesus was. Did you know that? I'm not going to name all of them for sake of time, but Jesus was an advocate. He's almighty. He's the almighty God. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Amen. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the anointed. He's the anointed one. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of eternal salvation, the beginning and the end, the begotten, the beloved Son. He's the beloved Son of God. He's the blessed of God, the blessed bread of life, the bridegroom, the bright and morning star. He's the captain of man's salvation, a captain of our salvation. He's a carpenter, carpenter's son, chief cornerstone, chosen, chosen of God. He's the Christ, which means the anointed one. He's Christ's child. He's Christ of God. He's the Christ the Lamb. He's a comforter. He's a consolation of Israel. He's a cornerstone, a counselor, a creator of all things. He's a deliverer, the divine son. He's a door of the sheep, Emmanuel, end of the law, endless, eternal, eternal father, eternal God, eternal head, eternal judge, everlasting father, example, exemplar. He's faithful and true. He's a father. He's a father of heaven and earth. He's a finisher of our faith. He's the finisher. He's first and the last, the firstborn, first fruits, forerunner. He's God, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, Jacob, God of our Father, God of the whole earth, God's anointed, God's holy child, Jesus. He's a good shepherd. He's a governor. He's a great I am. He's a great God, great shepherd, head of every man, head of the body. He's the head of the church. He's our healer. He's holy. He's a holy child. He's a holy Messiah. He's a holy one. He's a great I am. He's Emmanuel, Jehovah, Jesus, Jesus of Galilee, of Nazareth, Joseph's son. He's a judge. He's a just one. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of Zion. He's the king of the Jews. He's the Lamb of God. He's the light of the world. He is that light. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a living bread, living stone, living water, Lord of heaven, Lord God, Lord Almighty, Lord of hosts, Lord Jehovah, Lord Jesus, Lord of all, Lord of the dead, Lord of glory, Lord of hosts, Lord of the living, the Lord of lords, glory to God. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord omnipotent, the Lord our righteousness. He's our maker. He is the man of counsel, glory to God. And Jesus is a man of holiness. He's a master. He's meek and lowly. He's a messenger of the covenant. He's the Messiah. He's the mighty God. And he is a minister. Glory to God. I am just telling you, the list is endless. He is the power of God. He's the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the prophet of Nazareth, the propitiation for our sins of the whole world. He's a rabbi. He's a redeemer. He's a redeemer of Israel. He's a Redeemer of the world. He's a resurrection and a life. He's a revealer. He's the one who shed his blood on the cross. He's a righteous man. He's the rock. He's the rock of heaven. He's the root of Jesse. He's a sacrifice. He's a savior. He's a savior of the world. He's a second comforter. He's a seed of Abraham. He's a servant of the Lord, the shepherd, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of God, the son of man. He's the son of righteousness. He's the son of the blessed. He's the son of the eternal father. He's the son of Mary. He's the son of the highest. He's the son of the living God. He's the begotten of God. He's the son of the most high God. He's a spiritual rock. He's the stem of Jesse. He's the teacher that came from God. He's a true vine. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the wisdom of God. He's wonderful. He's a word of life, the word, and he's worthy. Glory to God. He's the lamb that was slain, and he's the one that shed his blood on Calvary for you and for me. He's the one that went to the cross for us. Glory to God. There is so many names, so many meanings to Jesus Christ that we can't name them all on this show, and there's probably not enough books to contain just who Jesus is. Well, you know, because of that, I just want Jesus. Do you want to be close to him? Do you want to just know who he is in your life? Do you want to begin to see him the way he sees you? Well, you've got to begin to have a relationship with him and know that you just want him in your life. Lord, I just want you. Just rejoice, because I just want Jesus. I just want him every day, every day, every day. Glory to God. We are so glad that you tuned in to Prayer Warrior for you today. And we want you to know that the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. You've got to know that God is able. He is willing. He's willing to encourage your heart. He is willing and able to strengthen you and to encourage you. You've got to lay down your will and every selfish desire to allow him to help you to see as he sees. Whatever it takes, desire him, want him, love him, and want him. Again, thank you for tuning in to our show. We pray that you will be blessed. We pray that you will be strengthened. We pray that you will be encouraged. We pray blessings upon your households and upon your lives. May you have a blessed day. May you have a blessed week. And know that the battle is not yours, but the battle belongs to the Lord. We will end this show with this song on today. God bless. We love you here from Prayer Warrior for you.